The people that are making plays in the kingdom believe that that song, the words that it's saying, that your kingdom is forever, you reign forever and ever, amen. Those are the people that are making plays, right? They believe the words. They believe that the name of Jesus has power. Amen. What a beautiful name it is. Happy New Year. I'm glad that you're here. You've made it a day into January. It's the second today, so we're on the second day of this year. And I'm glad that you're here. There's no better place that I think that you could be other than right here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matt. I'm the associate pastor here, and Danny thought it'd be a good idea for me to kick off the new year. And I am so glad that you're here. We've got some visitors today. Make sure you get around and say hello. Be praying for those that are sick that can't be here. And just buckle up, folks, all right? Just buckle up, because we're in for a ride. Today, we're in for a ride, because my message title is Whatever It Takes. Whatever it takes. So for those of you that maybe know me a little bit, you know that I can be intense every once in a while. I enjoy competition. And I just have a whatever it takes mentality on most things. Some things in my life I'm very lazy and I don't really care too much about. But for the most part, I have a whatever it takes mentality. I don't care if it's tic-tac-toe. I don't care if it's rock, paper, scissors. I don't care if I'm arm wrestling my five-year-old. We're going to do whatever it takes to complete the mission. Amen. That's just how I operate. And so that's what I want for our church. I want you all to catch that principle to be able to do whatever it takes, to be tough, to be able to take a punch, and to keep going. Because I promise you, in the climate that we're in and that we're going to be headed into, that is what we're going to need to have. Okay? I need to let you know that this is probably no surprise to you, but research shows that 95% of New Year's resolutions are, what would you say they would be related to? 95%. A little more than 95%. What would it be? Fitness, right? Fitness, health. Over 95% of New Year's resolutions are in some way related to fitness. That same stat says that after just 3 months, over 90% of those same people will say, what resolution? I made a commitment to myself. Do you know what the word resolution means? It comes from the word resolute, which means admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. I think we need to find a different word for New Year's resolution. Because not only is it, you're not only doing something, you're so sold out that it's admirable what you're doing. Yet we see over 90% saying, this is not for me. Simply put, right, people quit. They quit. When I go to the gym tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do. I plan on going to the gym tomorrow. I anticipate sheer insanity for the gym tomorrow. New gym outfits, matching gym shoes, right? You got your new stuff, you're fitted out, I'm gonna learn all kind of new workouts. I'm gonna see people that have learned from YouTube, right? This is the full deal, man. The hardcore ones, and I'm not saying this to be mean, I'm really not, but I've been here a couple years at the gym. The hardcore ones will stay around for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, right? The vast majority, by the end of the month, you are not going to be concerned about your fitness, not near as much as you were January 1st. And so why is this the theme year after year? Broken resolution after broken resolution, letting yourself down year after year. Now, most people that I ask if you have a resolution, most people are so jaded by their lack of commitment that they say, I don't have one, because they don't want to set themselves up to disappoint themselves. But the short answer is that most people aren't willing to do whatever it takes. I want to tell you the story, and it's an illustration that fits very well into this message, but I really want to preface it, okay? Because when I tell you this story, I don't want it to appear as if I'm Matt and I'm tooting my own horn, okay? Because I'm not. But many of you have asked, and there's probably even more of you that maybe haven't asked about my current fitness or my journey that I'm on currently. Of doing whatever it takes to achieve your goal. So, like last time with the great letdown and my disappointing Christmas story, it's time for a story time with Pastor Matt. Some of you enjoyed that last time. I had someone say, this is going to sound bad, but your storytelling was so good. I was sad when you started talking, like you got into the Bible. I'm like, thank you for my good storytelling. All right. As most of you know, I enjoy lifting weights, okay? Not a huge secret. I enjoy it. It's my passion. It's what I love to do. It's my safe nest. And so I turned pro in the sport of powerlifting in the year 2019. And from that point on, in 2019, I had this mentality in my mind that you can never be too big, right? I just had it in there. I'm like, you can never be too big. Never be too big, right? So I'm walking around this mentality. And those that claimed that they loved me, right? They were around me, and they were trying to warn me of my impending heart attack, of my weight gain, right? It was, and I'm not, you can ask my wife, I'm not exaggerating, okay? I knew that what I was doing wasn't good, and even though it was a full-blown wrestling match to get my socks on, Annie has walked in the room and been like, are you okay? And the lamp's knocked over, and like I would have to warm up and stretch to get my socks on, or I would just have my wife do it. Right, so I knew that like my lifestyle and how I was eating and I was getting all this weight and I was just big and strong, I wasn't hearing what anyone was saying to me. And it wasn't until one day, this was about in May 2020. So last year, the year before last, 2020, that morning I was weighing myself because I'd been training for a powerlifting meet. And that morning I weighed 284 pounds. That's 16 pounds away from 300. I'm not the tallest guy. I like to consider myself average height at 5'9". Average, okay. But there's no reason I should have been 284 pounds. And so that was a new record for me. I had never seen that on the scale. And so and that day later, it was one of the first days I'd had to mow, maybe a couple times before that. But this was really kind of my first time really getting out there and mowing the lawn. And what I need you to understand, if you've been to my house, I push mow my yard. I have that front yard, and I push it. And I have this amazing Honda push mower, and it has this thing called an auto drive, or whatever the technical term would be. Obviously, me knowing all my technical terms. But I literally push my thumbs down on this little lever, and I just have to follow my mower. It's incredible. It's really a nice option to have for my push mower. And so here I am. It's a beautiful day. And I'm telling you, folks, I was maybe 6 or 7 stripes into my mowing extravaganza, and I had to stop right there in the middle of my yard. And I shuffled my fat little self over to my front steps, and I sat down. I was completely gassed, breathing heavy, looking for maybe an AED. I didn't know what I needed at the time, but I knew that I was not in a good current physical condition. And as I sit there, I put my, I'll never forget, I have my head in my hands, and I am in disgust. Here I am sitting on my steps. At one point, a Division I college track athlete. And here I am to the point where I can't even follow my mower. Step after step, I had to look like a little penguin out there just shuffling around. Big old giant beard. You should have held me down and done something. Intervention. It was terrible, but I knew at that point, as I sat there with my head in my hands, something had to change. Something in my life had to change. And so with my background being in fitness, I knew what needed to be done. I knew what I had to do, and I also knew that it was not going to be easy. I'll spare you the details of what I had to do exactly to lose a total of 80 pounds. I still might, you know, become one of these famous celebrity trainers or whatever and sell this amazing program that I did. Anyways, it took a lot of hard work, okay? It was a very difficult journey. There were days that I wanted to stuff my face with double quarter pounders. Let me just give you a little glimpse of what I was doing, all right? This was when McDonald's, I can kind of blame it on them, they were doing the buy one, get one frees, right? So I would go and get like a double quarter pounder with Big Mac sauce. And you're just going to give me another one? There's an obligation there, right? And so I'd have to eat the other one. And so this is what I was doing like several times a week, but like at like 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to go eat two double quarter pounders. And I was eating 4 pounds of bacon a week, probably 8,000 calories a day. Anyway, it was ridiculous, and it was excessive, and it had to change. And so there was days where I wanted to jump off the wagon. There was days where I had to relearn basically how to eat. But I knew that to compromise on what I was trying to do, that would be going backwards in my mission, in the calling, in the goals, and everything that I've set forth for myself. If I compromise a little bit, then I'm off the track. And so not every day was perfect, but I stayed the course, and I was willing to do whatever it took. And in total, lost 80 pounds. That's like a sixth or seventh grader, right? I feel really, really good. And I was blessed to just be able to do that, and the education helped. But this is what I want as a church, okay? This year, I don't want us to set a resolution. I would like for us to get in our minds a mindset that it's a vision that I want you to catch that we can apply. And I know that if we do this, and if we apply these principles, that we're going to see lives changed, and we're going to see the kingdom expanded, which is what it's all about. And so I'm going to go over three principles that if we apply these as a church, and if you apply them in your own personal lives, you will see victory. If you have that whatever it takes mentality, you will see results. And if you don't, then you won't. Okay, so we're going to be in Daniel. This is where we're going to be at today. So turn to Daniel 1. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 1. We know Daniel as Daniel in the lion's den. But that actually doesn't happen until like way later. He's like an old man when that happens. And so we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. And we're just going to show a little bit of Daniel that maybe you haven't seen before. But in this first principle, I want you to understand something about Daniel. And it's this. Principle number 1, I need us to be resistant. Don't give in. Let me explain this first principle with some scripture. This is in verse 1, chapter 1 in Daniel. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Verse 4, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. So let me give you some background very quickly. This is happening in 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar becomes king of Babylon, okay? At this time, Babylon is kind of running stuff because when King Nebuchadnezzar set his sights on a country, defeat was absolutely certain, okay? This guy had a very good track record. He was very ruthless, very savage. And after victory, what this guy, King Nebuchadnezzar, would do is he would bring back to Babylon, the capital, the most talented and useful people. And then what he would do is he would leave behind the poor and the people that just really, they didn't see any use for them, and basically just say, okay, we're going to take all the good people out. We're going to leave all of you with the land and the whatever. Y'all just kind of figure it out. Just live peaceably. We're taking all of your good people, right? This is what they would do to a country. This is verse 5, okay? Verse 5 says this. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these acceptable foods. Now, there's a couple theories on why he didn't want to eat those unacceptable foods. A couple of them are maybe they were foods that were offered to gods, right? And the Jews weren't allowed to eat food that was offered to gods. Some say that the king could have been serving pork, which, you know, there's a lot of rules as a practicing Jewish person, right, an Israelite. There's a lot of rules on what you could and couldn't eat, okay? So the Bible's not specific with the reason, but we just know that he says, I'm not going to eat that. You keep that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have the king's stuff. I'm not going to eat or drink the king's stuff, okay? And so this is what I see in this situation and how we can conform. And when I talk about be resistant and not giving in, we are guilty, church, of conforming to the world's standards instead of being transformed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. With my teenagers, I'll call them camo Christians, where it's like you just kind of, you want enough, like, I don't want to, like, go to hell. Like, I know that I'm saved and I believe in Jesus, but I don't really want it to cost me anything. So I'm going to just kind of blend in and don't really ask me to do anything, but I still want the blessings. I still want to go to heaven, but I'm just going to kind of conform to what the world kind of says. And unfortunately, the church isn't that far behind. So the world will throw something out there, and the church initially will be like, blah, 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 and then we'll get used to it, and then they'll, you know, wait till we calm down, and they'll throw something back out, and then they'll wait till we calm down, and then that's how we conform to the world. And this is what they're trying to do with Daniel and his buddies. They wanted to change Daniel's language, how he spoke. The world will try to change how you speak. They wanted to change his literature, what he was reading. Guess what? The devil doesn't want you reading? The devil doesn't want you reading the Bible. Do you know what people don't read these days? The Bible. I wish people read the Bible. Can I be mean to you for 2 seconds? Church, read your Bible. Amen. Please, read your Bibles. It's in there. The blueprint is in there. We act like we're so, I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go, and I'm so lost. It's in there. But we don't read it because we don't understand it. He wanted to change all of this. Change his literature, change his language, change his lifestyle, change his loyalties. But this is what I like. King James puts it this way. In the King James Version, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart, right? He purposed. He was resistant. He didn't give in to the luxury of what the king had to offer. He purposed in his heart. When I was sitting on my steps on a not very hot May day, I had to purpose in my heart that I was about to go on this difficult journey. For those of you that are in this room right now and can hear my voice, this 2022 might have something for you that you're not going to like. You just haven't gone through it yet. And what does that look like? Are you going to be resistant? Are you not going to give in? Are you going to stay focused when the world tries to throw you here and teach you this and teach your kids and indoctrinate this way? Or are you going to purpose in your heart? He purposed, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's food or drink. And where do we see Daniel draw the line? This is where we see him draw the line. He draws it with God's word. What God says, that's what Daniel does. He behaved this way because he believed the God that he served. Our standard in this church, from this pulpit, is what the word of God says. Not what the world says. Daniel did not give in. He had the opportunity to give in, to be served the best, but he didn't. He resisted the temptation to compromise. He resisted the temptation to have that double quarter pounder that would have tasted amazing. That's our standard, is the Word of God. May God help us, church, stand by our convictions even when we stand alone. Amen. When you are completely by yourself, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we see later, will you stand up? Will you have the confidence? Will you have the consistency? Will you have the do whatever it takes mentality to do whatever it takes? Mission point, you have my word. As sure as I stand at this pulpit, as long as I'm here, we will follow what the Word of God says. Even if the world doesn't give a rip about what the Word of God says. Because it's going to try to trickle in. It's already here. It's already in our churches. Danny and I deal with it all the time, hearing about different things. Can you believe what? It's here. It's getting in. It's seeping in. It was all the way back. Paul addressed it over and over again. We have to be consistent, do whatever it takes, and we follow what the Word of God says, no matter what. Be resistant. Don't give in. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. Principle two is this. Be consistent. Don't give up. Consistent means doing something the same way over and over again. That's what consistent means. Let's pick it back up in verse 11 of chapter 1. It says this: Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. Verse 13, at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what the end of the 10 days, in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. See, Daniel did not give up. For 10 days, they stayed consistent. They were tested for 10 days to prove that God's power was there to help them. Throughout the Bible, there's a theme. There's a theme in the Bible to not give up. Listen, giving up is easy. You just don't do it. Not going to the gym, that's easy. You just don't go. Not loving your wife, that's easy. Just don't love your wife. Don't teach your kids, that's easier. It's easier not to do devotions with your family. It's easier to watch Netflix and just zone out. Oh, that's easier. But what's the end result? You have to be consistent. You have to never give up. Noah, we look at Noah. Noah was consistent. Year after year, bored, connected with bored to build a ship that had to survive the biggest flood the world had ever seen. All the while, the whole world's laughing at this guy. He's laughing at him, and he had to stay the course. He had to be consistent. What about Joseph? The coat of many colors. From the pit where he was left to die, to the palace, to the prison, back to the palace, he was consistent. When we read the story of Joseph, he was consistent. David didn't give up when faced with a giant like the rest of Israel did. The rest of Israel was ready to pack up, give up, let's go home. David said, no, that's not what we're going to do. He was consistent. Job, you want to talk about a ridiculous experience? He never gave up. His own wife, Job's own wife said to him, listen, dude, curse God and die. He didn't give up. It was hard. He didn't give up. Paul. What about Paul? Stoned, shipwrecked, snake bitten, imprisoned, beaten. Didn't give up. I'm telling you, church, God honors consistency. The thing with consistency is that it can be good or bad, okay? Consistency is something, doing something the same. I'm consistent. If I consistently smoke for 40 years, what happens? It's not good, right? I was consistent. What if I consistently eat healthy? I exercise, right? The chances of that benefiting me is very high. So anything that you do consistently, you will see results. Consistently. But guess what? When I said, okay, Matt, you are ridiculous. We have to change. I worked out that day. I looked in the mirror. Guess what happened? Nothing. The next day, I'm like, man, I ate good today. I ate good. I didn't have any bacon. I looked in the mirror. I stepped on the scale. What happened? Nothing. The next day, same thing. Nothing. Guess what? A year and a half later, I'm down 80 pounds. Amen. It's consistency. You've got to consistently do the right thing, and I promise you good things will happen. I promise you. Consistently do the wrong thing. Guess what? Something bad is going to happen to you. It's called sowing and reaping. So be consistent. Consistently read scripture. Consistently pray. Consistently love your wife. Consistently work hard at your job. Consistently be a testimony to those around you. You get the idea. Be consistent. When your feet hit the floor, the devil goes, daggone it. He's not perfect. He doesn't have it all figured out. He messes up every day, but he's consistent. He keeps showing up. He keeps getting back up. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give in. I can't get rid of this guy. Be that Christian.
Amen.
Huh? Annoy the devil. Be a thorn in his side instead of being an advocate, instead of being a camo Christian. To say, yeah, I want to be enough on the team, but don't really ask me to step in and play in the game. I'll freak out and just pee all over myself. I want to go to heaven. Never stop. Never give up. Church, it's going to be difficult. I just told you. You're going to have things happen to you. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. You cannot give up. What's your alternative? Just sit around and just cry? And just think about how bad life is. What kind of life is that? Things are going to be tough. Be consistent. Don't give up. Be like Daniel. Don't give in. All right. Principle three. Principle three says this. Be persistent. Don't give out. If I put too much weight on the squat rack, what happens to my legs? They give out, right? Too much weight is on something, what happens? They give out. Don't give out. Be persistent. I actually had to Google the difference between consistent and persistent. And they're very similar, but with persistency, it means continuing to do something despite the challenges and difficulties. So consistency is just, you're just doing it. I'm just consistent. Boom, boom, boom. I'm just doing it. Persistent is, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I hit a wall. I'm going to keep doing it. Ha, ha. I hit a wall. That's persistent, right? You see the difference of consistency and persistency. You need both for success. Verse 17 in chapter 1 says this. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Verse 20, whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. When we see this through verse 1 and through verses 21, we see God showing himself very strong. God gave. God showed up. David still had to take the steps. See, the king found no one like Daniel. Daniel and his friends were 10 times better. Not just a little bit, 10 times better. And as far as persistency and consistency goes, Daniel continued for another 70 years in the service of these Babylonians. I want to ask you a question today. Are you a persistent person? Are you persistent? When things, you know, are you doing what you need to do? What happens when something, boom? What do you do when you hit that first wall? What happens? Right? It's like when you start getting your life together, you start trying really hard. I'm gonna get things together. My relationships are gonna be repaired, and I'm really gonna try. 3 hours later, boom, you get punched in the face. What happens then? Are you persistent? Let me be more specific. Are you persistent about the right things? See, Daniel and his friends understood the assignment. They knew that things were going to be tough in their new home. They snatched them out of their home from their family and said, you're coming with us. You're going to eat what we tell you to eat. You're going to read what we tell you to read. You're going to learn our language. We're going to change your name. You can do whatever we tell you. They understood what they needed to do. They knew it was going to be tough, but they also understood the God that they served. Listen, Christian, if you are not persistent in your walk with the Lord, if you aren't persistent with your walk with Jesus, you're going to be in for a very frustrating and disappointing ride. You're going to be hot all in, then you're going to be cold, then you're going to be up and down and angry and confused and bitter, and then I'm on again. When things get tough, use that as that motivation to know that your navigation through that storm has awesome rewards for you on the other side.
Amen.
Your consistency, your persistency, your doing whatever it takes mentality will pay off. I promise. How many people give up right before the payoff? Right? You're going through your marriage and you're having trouble and you give up right before. If you just would have made it just a little bit further. Some of you are right there, right? And you can use this New Year's to kind of get you just over that, whatever that might be. Be persistent. Daniel and his friends, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego later on in Daniel with the whole furnace thing. Up against an entire nation. You're around thousands and thousands of people. Music starts playing. Everyone bows, and here you are. Standing there with your two other buddies. Whatever it takes. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take for us to be successful. The devil does not want our church to do anything for the kingdom. He wants us to come on Sundays, show up, check your box, leave, and do nothing. That's what he wants for you. But I want to show you in God's word that there's so much more for you than just showing up to church. If I could choose one word, I guess, for our church this year, of these, it would be the consistent word. I want you to be consistent. Because I think if you're consistent, I think some really good things are going to happen for us. And doing things on a consistent basis, even when you don't want to, that's what we need. Every day I looked in the mirror, man, I didn't see anything. Man, what? Why? You're going to have some victories and you're going to have some defeats in your life. You just have to keep going. You stay consistent. The alternative is failure. And I'll end with this statement. In our world, church, as the praise team comes, in our world, church, there's souls on the line. We have people that are dying and going to hell. Right, we see Richard, he's sick, we're praying for him, but we know where Richard goes if he were to die 30 seconds from now. Right, you all have people in your life that you know don't have Jesus. Are you being the difference maker? Are you being the whatever? I have a whatever it takes mentality to see this person saved. Do you have that? Do you know that the person that you know that doesn't have Jesus, if they die today, that they would spend eternity in hell? Does that not affect you? Does that not sting a little bit? Whatever it takes, church. Get a little uncomfortable. That's fine. It's gonna be awful sometimes. It's gonna be real awful. Guess what? I like double quarter pounders. I like bacon. I had to change my wants. I had to change my desires. Do you desire things of the Lord? Do you want to see the kingdom expanded? That's what I want for you. Consistency, church. Be consistent. Wake up tomorrow and say, okay, I got some challenges. It's a new year, but I got the same stuff from last year. I still got the same job. Still got the same wife. Still got the same problems. Got the same anxieties. Got the same addictions. Got the same favorite flavors. What are you going to do about it? Whatever it takes is what you're going to do about it.
Amen.
Get around someone. Get around someone that loves and cares about you this year. A mentor. Someone that when you have those times where you just want to say, I want a double quarter pounder, and I don't care what you're going to say. Have that person to kick you in the face. Hang on. Shin. Kick you in the shin. I care about you, church, and I want to see us be successful. But if you're not tough and you can't take a punch and you can't do whatever it takes, then we're going to struggle. Because I'm telling you, the world's, I don't want to be the doomsday pastor, but I'm telling you, I don't want you to get your hopes up for 2022. I hope I'm wrong, daggone it. I'd love nothing more than to be wrong. But I think that we're going to have a tough year. But if we're willing to do whatever it takes, guess what? We can be on the same team, and we're going. Right? That's it. That's what we do. Let me pray, and we'll have a time of response. And I'm thankful that you're here. Happy New Year from my family to yours. And I'm excited to see what 2022 has. The world can go and burn and do whatever it wants to do. We're going to love Jesus. We're going to love others, and we're going to make disciples.
Amen.
All right, God, thank you for this day. How good you are to us. Thank you. We are privileged to be able to come to this building and worship your name unharassed. We love you. Thank you for your son, for salvation. Allow us to be tough. Give us the spirit of toughness to say whatever it takes, we're going to see the kingdom expanded. Daniel and his friends knew that life was going to be tough, but they had to do whatever it takes to be successful, and they were blessed for it. You will reward our hard work. It will not go unrewarded. We love you. Be with this church. Be with the people that are here. Be with the sickness. Be with the good and the bad and the in-between. Be with us as we go out from this place and radically change the world for your kingdom. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.